You're listening to the Candidly with Coffee podcast, the show that gives you straightforward and candid advice on all things nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle with your host, Janine Escobar.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
We're back. Been a minute.
We got the coffee.
Yep.
It's been a minute for you.
For me, yeah.
It's been 2 weeks for me, but it's been a while for you because Lissa was the special guest last time.
Yep.
Did you miss it?
No. Oh, no. Yeah, I like to talk smack on here. It's fun.
You do?
Why not?
Are you going to talk smack today?
Depends what we talk about.
Okay, stop yawning and making noises. Do I have to remind you how to have a podcast?
I'm chilling. I'm relaxed.
You're ready to start making noise and yawning.
I'm not ready to do nothing. Just your assumptions.
All right. Well, gosh, I feel like so much time has passed. I don't even know where to begin. Alyssa had her second competition. Last we left off, the listeners, was after Alyssa's first competition.
Oh.
So she had another competition. She did really well again.
Yep.
She got second in novice and third in open, which is really good. There was a really lot of really good competition. And now she is going to tell everybody what her plans are on her YouTube channel.
Oh, nice.
What's next for her? She's going to be vlogging and launching her YouTube channel. So I'm super excited about her doing that.
That's good. Take her to the next level, you know.
Yeah, and people want to see because
they want to see her progress, transformation.
And they want to see what she does every day, like what she eats, how she works out in order to achieve what she's achieving.
Handstands.
Yeah. So she's going to be doing that, and I'm excited about that. What else is going on with you?
Not a whole lot. Just getting back into training my damn self because my shoulder. Remember, my shoulder was messed up, but it's better.
So your shoulder's messed up.
It was. It's better. I mean, it still bothers me, but
are you going to start working out with Alyssa again tomorrow?
I don't know because I still can't do any pressing and pulling movements. So probably not.
Make sure you talk into the mic.
So probably not. Probably just training my schooler here, hit the bag.
Yeah, that's
because it still bothered me a little bit, so I don't want
to. I had an injury too, kind of. And well, she was out of town last week, and so I wasn't going to work out with her. I was going to, you know, do my own modified workouts, but then I had an injury, like my elbow, something with from my grip to my elbow, like the tendon was sore and giving me problems. So I decided last week I took the week off of weightlifting, but I stayed on point with my cardio.
Yeah. I mean, you got to work around injuries, you know. We went walking every day, which was good.
Yeah. You can't just stop. Well, I'm injured.
No.
Because I worked so hard to establish that routine. I'm not going to not do it for a week and mess with my routine.
It messes it up too. It throws it all off.
Oh, yeah.
You get a little lazy. You start like, I don't want to do it. Like, no, hell no.
Your time starts changing and then you skip. And I don't want to go down that. And so I'm proud of myself. I committed that I said, you know what? I'm not doing weights. So I'm going to do my 45-minute cardio session on the tread climber every day. And I'm going to do the 3-mile walk every day. And I did. That was my commitment to myself. None of those things affected my elbow. My elbow's feeling a lot better, and I go back to training tomorrow.
Nice.
Not to mention, kind of back to back since February, I've been traveling. Went to Scottsdale, went to Miami, went to Las Vegas two times, and Sacramento. So 5 times in the course of from the end of February through last weekend, 5 trips.
That's a lot,
and
man.
Enjoyed myself on those trips. You know, I definitely had
fun. We enjoyed
fun.
Ourselves in Miami. That was for damn sure.
Yeah, oof. I enjoyed myself on the trips. So I'm back. But the difference is, and I was talking to Alyssa about it earlier, I definitely feel a little fluff. But the reason why I'm not out of control is because even though I had the trips and I enjoyed myself on the trip, as soon as I returned, immediately I went back on track. I did not let, I'm going to be traveling again next weekend, so I'm just going to let
go to shit. Yeah.
Every day.
No.
Because of that, because I went right back on my routine every single time after every trip, even though I indulged on the trips, I don't have much damage to undo. So So
that's the secret.
Yeah.
Don't compound it. Don't go days on them stacking.
No. It's bad enough that I had to compound trips and enjoy myself on the trip. So you can't compound in between. So I'm so glad. And you know what I like to think about when I enjoy myself on a trip or have like a crazy indulgent weekend or something like that? I always think to myself, was it worth it? Like, and if the answer was yes, then, or if it's going to be worth it, then go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, are you okay with knowing that you're going to have to do a little extra work to get back to where you were? Like, are those memories and the moments worth it? You know what I mean? And now when I look back over the travels, it was the first time traveling since the pandemic and all that. Like, I'm like, man, you know, I've got 4 pounds to lose. I got on the scale. And that's so my net damage, 5 trips, 4 pounds. Not bad. And last weekend was epic because Alyssa and I went in on Saturday and all day Sunday.
Oh.
I had Saturday and Sunday.
Damn. You went hard. It's okay.
Cookies, donuts, it's okay. Everything she wanted because it was her post. I wasn't going to not participate in her post-cheat. But ultimately, because I don't typically weigh myself, so I didn't weigh myself in between all the other trips, but I did weigh myself right before I went on the first trip. So I am 4 pounds up, 5 trips, 5 indulgent weekends. That's freaking awesome. And so that's a moment I look back, was it worth it? Hell yeah, it was freaking worth it. Yeah. Hell yeah. Like 4 pounds, like I can get rid of 4 pounds in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going back. Like, and what people will probably ask, you know, like, okay, well, what does that mean? What differs? The only thing that differs is instead of the crazy indulgent weekends from the traveling, I go back to my normal indulgent day. One indulgent day.
Yeah.
A tracked surplus day.
Yeah.
You know, where I monitor volume. Everything else stays the same. The way I adjust the levers on whether I want to have progress, maintenance, surplus is always based on what does my weekend look like? What does my travels look like? It's all based on that. I have no travels coming up. So I'm going back to the single day indulgent tracked day. 2 weeks. That's what I say. 2 weeks I'll be back on track. I'm getting myself back into a deficit.
Nice.
Rather than maintenance. So because I had to make up for those surplus days. So you figure in the course of 5 trips, average of 3 surplus days on each of those trips, so 15 surplus days instead of maybe what I would have had 6 surplus days, say that was over the course of 6 weeks. So I have to make up for 9 days of surplus. I got to make up those calories somewhere. You got to give them back. It's a loan.
That's crazy. You know? It's a loan.
You got to give it back. You know,
that's true. It is a loan.
Yeah, it is. You know, because I don't want it permanently. I don't want them. Okay, it's just a temporary housing. I don't want it permanently, so it's a loan. I'm going to give it back. But, you know, I like to think oftentimes about, like, the whole concept of was it worth it? It's the same thing of spending. I like to think about my calories and my lifestyle as, like, my bank account. You know what I mean? So when I'm going to overspend, I always make sure it's worth it. I don't overspend on crap. So I'm not going to overspend because, you know, someone's going to hand me their leftover or something they didn't want to eat. I'm not going to eat that because that's not what I would have picked.
I know what you mean.
I hand select every calorie that goes into my body. And if it's a dirty calorie or it's going to take me into a surplus, it damn well better be worth it.
Yeah.
If I take a bite of something that I think is going to be worth it and then it's not, even if I spent money on it, it'll go in the trash. I will not waste my calories. People need to value their spend a little more.
True. That's a good point. It's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of eating stuff and you're not really like enjoying it? That's dumb.
Yeah. So you have to think about it.
I'm the same way.
Remember to ask yourself that question and also think about how you're going to feel after you eat it. Are you going to be able to ask yourself, was it worth it? And the answer is yes. Because in that case, you know, maybe you go for it. If it was so delicious that it was worth it. Like the memories and the fun. I had Alyssa and I eating cookies in bed at night, laughing. They were 1,000 calories each.
You guys ate one each?
Yes, we did.
Fuck.
I'm not going to lie.
It's like eating 3 donuts or some shit.
I can't lie. Cannot tell a lie.
That's okay.
It's probably My Cookie Dealer.
It's all right. What is it called?
My Cookie Dealer.
Oh, you gave me a piece, right? Yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, they're good.
Oh, my God. They're half-pound cookies. Mm. They're half-pound.
That's too much.
We didn't each grab a cookie and, like, chomp on one whole cookie. We kind of, like, slivered it, laughed, ate more, whatever. And it was the best. And I look back and I think, was it worth it? Yes.
Yeah.
Then the next morning, we went to, there's a famous, like, donut shop in Sacramento called Baker's Donuts. And, you know, it's a well-known hole-in-the-wall, delicious donuts. So we went there and got donuts. Was it worth it? Yes, worth it. You know, but I also had to pay the piper. I had to, like, be all right, Janine. It was fun while it lasted. Your trips, your extra indulgences, going a little overboard on those weekends, those trips. So now I got to step on the scale. I don't like to step on the scale. I personally don't. But I knew I had to, that was my way, like, I got to pay the piper. I always talk about pay to play.
Yep.
Well, I played, it's time to pay.
Yeah.
And by paying, I have to know where I'm at.
That's true.
And I have to be honest with myself. So I stepped on the scale and I weighed myself yesterday. I was at 4 pounds. Yeah, you're doing good, right?
Yeah.
You're on that, last time you were on, I think we told everybody, I put you on your own little system, kind of like a point system to monitor volume. It's working well for you.
Yep. I've been fasting a lot lately, too. Because
you're having your flexibility. The fasting helps so much. And people always
think... I think it helped with my injury. That's why I did it, too, for inflammation. Because I always think of inflammation.
Yeah, because fasting helps. Yeah, because if your body is not constantly digesting food, it has time for recovery.
Yep.
And by shrinking your eating window, you are...
Bigger volume.
You know, you just shrink your volume.
Two big meals, yep.
Yeah.
So we're working.
So it's good. It's working for you.
I'm down to like 195.
Yeah, so you were 203, close. I think, when we got back from Miami. So you're down 8 pounds.
Almost.
And you've been enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I have.
You're flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very flexible.
I've eaten potatoes, PB&Js. But again, I don't loosely do like I used to. I weigh it.
Oh, because you can save yourself so much. Again,
butter.
Like you're,
yeah.
You can save money, right? When you're weighing,
yeah.
People
it probably helps.
Go
chips
crazy.
Too.
Because I'm like an analogy queen. But when you're weighing your food out,
it's true though.
You can literally, it's like saving money. It's like clipping coupons, right?
Because you might want something else at the end of the day.
Because listen, you can have yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If you measure the peanut butter and only have a tablespoon and a half instead of 2 tablespoons, you just saved yourself 45 calories. You would go 2+. So say you have one, like lately, I've been having the Chompies PB&J. It's so good. But I wanted to trim the calories a little bit on it. So instead of, I used to always have 2 tablespoons of peanut butter in it. It's 180 calories. Instead of doing that, I'm having, 1 tablespoon. Listen, when I'm eating the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I do not taste the difference, but I clipped that coupon, 90 calories I saved. 90 calories is a lot.
A bar at the end of the day.
90 calories is a lot.
For you, because you don't have
a
big bank.
I
have a bigger bank than you, so.
Yeah, so, you know, part of why I'm so happy I had done that reverse diet coming out of the holidays, because that's why I didn't do so much damage. I had built up my maintenance calories, and that's why I've only gained 4 pounds, because realistically it should have been more than 4. I was happy. I was doing the happy dance. I'm like, 4 pounds?
Listen, I don't know if your fucking audience or your viewers or
listeners.
They don't
understand how I can eat.
No.
No.
You're toe-to-toe with me and then some, and then more.
Oh, and then some. Yeah, last week.
Especially in Miami, you went toe-to-toe with me and all those pastries and desserts and pizza that last
day. Yeah, Miami, and that was the beginning of my, you know, foodapalooza from the 5 trips. Miami was kind of like what set it off, what is it called?
Cafe Versailles.
Cafe Versailles.
Oh my God, if you ever go to Miami, anybody
they
listening?
They are Cuban pastries. Oof. We talked about them when we come back on our trip recap, but...
Man.
That was worth it. So, see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example of what wasn't worth it. And when it wasn't worth it, I didn't eat it. You'll remember and you'll agree with me. We walked almost a mile to a place that we thought was going to have really good donuts when we were in Scottsdale.
Oh, yeah.
We got donuts and didn't eat them. I had one, then it was okay. The old fashioned.
I had one.
Because you know what?
I think we took a bite of the other one.
Tried the apple fritter. It was too like fluffy. It wasn't like...
It was horrible.
And I said to myself, is this worth it? Nah.
Mm-mm.
Not worth it. It was not worth my spend. Even though I was ready to indulge, it wasn't worth it.
And you know, I'd be thinking when we go to places like that, like these people just don't know that there's better caliber. I mean, not that they have a choice. That's probably the best, but like this ain't nothing. There's way better donuts from where we're at, you know, in little old San Jose.
Oh yeah, we got the some. Best. I was impressed with Baker's in Sacramento, though. Were you impressed? I thought they were good.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I tried it. Yeah, they were good.
They were very good. They remind were kind of like,
a little bit. Remind me of Stan's.
They were that very doughy. Very doughy.
I like
doughy.
That doughy. I do like
I
that.
I was impressed, actually.
But some donuts, you bite into it, and it's like...
They're too, like...
Poof. They, like, poof. They, like, fall airy. Apart. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They were... It was
doughy.
It was
more
really
calories,
good.
But, you know, it's better. If you're going to eat something, you might as well enjoy it all the way.
So, yeah, you guys, if you... It's... And you know what? Like, I have... And don't reveal it, because I'm not revealing it yet. But I have some big things in the works where I'm kind of, like, revamping my program in terms of how I'm going to make it even easier for everybody. I've got some like amazing ideas to make this lifestyle easy.
Yeah.
And
game changer.
A game changer.
Yep.
It's going to be game changer. Trust me, it's going to be game changer. And if you're in BBC 8, you are going to get first crack at like some of these new things that I'm implementing that are going to be amazing. Not during BBC 8, but as BBC 8, you're going to have.
Your people are going to do the happy dance.
Yeah, because, you know, it's life-changing.
It is.
It's life-changing, and I'm always racking my brain. And listen, I love...
Because you can still enjoy life.
Because I love the feedback I get from every question, every email, every roadblock that clients have on their journey where they're struggling to stay on track. I learn from every single one. And every single one gets my wheels turning. It's why I don't sleep at night. It's why I wake up very easily. And then once I wake up, I don't go
your
back
brain,
to sleep.
Because
my brain just, there goes the hamsters. And I'm constantly thinking, how can I make this easier? How can this be doable? How can this be sustainable? Because everybody needs to live like this. Nobody needs to walk around feeling uncomfortable in their own skin. Or feeling like they can't enjoy things that they love or participate in celebrations. They feel like they have to choose between one or the other. Nobody has to do that. We only are on this earth, walking this earth one time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
One time.
This life, this body that you have, that you're in right now, you see only it. Have it one time. Don't you want to see what it feels like to be so freaking proud that you'd walk down the street naked? Don't you want
that's
that
dope.
Feeling?
That is dope.
Like,
people don't think
don't
about
you
that.
Want to experience? Listen, yeah. you can't. Everybody's
supreme
capable.
Confidence.
And it doesn't matter where you're at right now. It does not matter.
No.
You can get to that point. You can get there. You just need help. And you need to find the system that is right for you. And I'm confident that Body Boot Camp, this is like Body Boot Camp on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help everybody even more. So I'm super excited about that. But it's, you know, like I said, it's all about learning how much you have to spend and figuring out what you should spend it on. That's it.
That's a good way of looking at it. Like, I'm allocated every day. It's mm-hmm. X amount of calories. All right. How do I spend these calories?
I'm tired of saying macros because it scares the shit out of people when you say macros.
It confuses
people. Log your food.
Yes.
Log your food. Track your macros. It's scary. It's intimidating.
It
sounds too high level. It's too.
It does.
It's, you know.
You're trying to simplify it.
Yeah, I'm trying to simplify it. Just like I did for you. Didn't it help
you? I'm not logging shit.
Right.
But I'm just.
And you lost 8 pounds.
But I know where I need. I've learned like what's.
Right.
I'm on a point system.
Yeah, but you. And you've learned approximately how many points.
Certain
things
are, yeah, I've
based
learned.
On how I've kind of assigned things initially, you kind of took that and learned.
Yep.
And so then you think it's almost becomes like, ooh, am I intuitively eating? No, you're not really intuitively eating. When people think of intuitive eating, they think about it incorrectly. It doesn't mean that you can kind of eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full. That's really not what intuitive eating is.
No.
Because we don't stop when we're full and we don't only eat when we're hungry.
It's true.
What intuitive eating is, let me give you another analogy. Intuitive eating is when you do something for so long that your brain gets on autopilot and does it for you without you even realizing it. Let me give you an example. Have you ever driven from your house to your work? You've done that so many times. You just do it. You could be on the phone. You could be thinking about what you're going to do later, what you have to go for the day or whatever. But before you know it, you're at work. Did you think I need to turn right on this street and left on this street and make a U-turn here and then turn into the parking lot? Did you think about all those steps? No, because you do it so many times poof, it just happened automatically. Your brain kicked into autopilot.
Well,
that's the same thing. That's what intuitive eating means. It means you learn and you're doing it so consistently that you start to know how much you should be eating because you know the portion size. Mm-hmm. You know what approximately such and such amount of points is for your example because you've done it so many times now. You know, oh, okay, so this is probably a full day of eating for me based on because I've been doing it now for a couple months. I kind of got an idea now. And you start to just kind of do it automatically.
Let me ask you something while it's on my brain. You have me on a point system. So let's just say I only did 6 points today. Can I do 10 tomorrow?
You could, technically. You could borrow.
I'm going to ask you that. I can borrow. Okay.
Yes, you can
so
borrow.
So it's good for people to know
and
that.
And you know what's interesting is that it because your body doesn't know a time clock. Okay? You have to have progress. If you're looking at your progress month over month, it's one thing. If you're looking at your progress week over week, it's another thing, right? You have to build that deficit. You have to deposit enough deficit calories into the bank to equal a pound. It has to be that imbalance of 3,500 calories to equal a pound.
Mm-hmm.
You could deposit less on some days and more on the other.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of this course. When I was taking a course, somebody broke it down like that. Uh-huh. And at that time, I didn't understand it. He's like, what if I told you guys you can have a beer every other day and a slice of pizza and still lose weight? And we didn't understand it. He was ahead of his time.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. This was for not my NASM. This was for my National Council of Strength and Fitness. And I didn't understand. I couldn't grasp what he was teaching us. But now learning from you, I'm like, now
it's
I get
so
it.
It's so interesting now that I get you say that because it's just that is something that's going to be incorporated into my...
People won't believe that.
Especially like, you know.
You can have fries and lose weight. Just how you have them.
Yeah, it's just a matter of moderation.
Yes.
You know what's interesting? I don't want to give away too much of what I have coming, but it's going to be pretty amazing. And it's going to incorporate a lot of really cool things. But what it made me think about was I was watching the Demi Lovato documentary, and it's on YouTube if you have not seen it. It's actually really good. But she battled an eating disorder, and she had a team of people around her for many years who were trying to manage that eating disorder and prevent her from having a relapse. And they did that by not letting anybody eat any non-approved food around her. They removed everything, all temptation. They, for her birthday, they famously would give her a watermelon as a birthday cake and put like whipped cream on it. And that was her birthday cake. And they thought by doing that, they were protecting her.
No.
And you know, that's such an important concept because it is something that I always try to focus on.
In your face.
It didn't help her.
Nope.
She came out in the documentary and said it was worse for me.
It's almost torture, yeah.
It was because I felt so deprived and I felt like I wanted the things even more. And I try to teach that all the time, how the importance of balance and that deprivation is not the answer. Because while short term, it will get you perhaps some results, it is not sustainable long term. And then you don't know how to act when there's something that you're not supposed to have around you. And she said something that was so interesting. So I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly in line with what I try to teach. But she, as the part of her recovery, you know, she had that relapse with heroin and everything. And it's all part of her addiction process. And she's learning that for her, it does not help her to be able to not have anything. She has to feel like she has some control and she's able to have some things. And that's how I feel about tracking macros. Like people think like, oh, isn't that so controlling to track macros? I said, no, it's not. It's actually the opposite because it gives you some boundaries. Of which to follow.
Yeah.
But you can have some things. You don't have to never have a donut, never have something. So for her, she decided to give herself boundaries and give herself some things that she could have. So she put Taco Bell on her approved list of things she could
have. Hey, man.
You know what?
Taco Bell's
not that bad.
You can find some
Taco Bell.
You can find some clean choices in there.
And you know
what
was interesting? She said, as soon as I said I could have Taco Bell, suddenly Taco Bell was not that desirable anymore.
It's what it is. Humans, we're like
that.
That's
what I'm trying to teach you guys. You have to, and you have to kind of go through the fire sometimes and learn the process of the moderation and the dealing with temptation. But deprivation isn't the answer. And look, even for her, and listen, this is very like, it's still very controversial, but she's doing something as part of her sobriety and recovery called, she's California sober. And what that means is she's not depriving herself of everything. And just because she is sober, she's not sober from everything. She's just sober from the vices that will kill her, right? So, I mean, that's a totally different, and I'm not an addiction specialist by any means. I'm just speaking on the whole Taco Bell thing, and it became less desirable. However, it is pretty interesting. So California sober is somebody who has had a drug and alcohol addiction problem, but allows themselves the occasional alcohol and marijuana. I'm assuming California sober because marijuana, and we're known for marijuana.
I'm California sober.
But you're California sober. You're a perfect example of that. And when I heard her say that, I'm like, well, you're a perfect example because you're someone who had an addiction to Xanax.
A bad one.
So most addiction experts would say you, because you now had an addiction to Xanax, should not have alcohol. Nope. You shouldn't have marijuana. You should have nothing.
Remember, I didn't for a long time, for a while.
Because you were afraid,
Almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think July, I went from my
episode. Yeah, so it's been now a year that you've started having alcohol again and smoking marijuana. Almost a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I kept it under
wraps. It works for you.
I kept it chill.
Because you don't do it in extreme. It's not progressing, or I feel like it's working for you. So I thought that was interesting because a lot of people have their opinions on it. They're like, oh, no.
But you have to control it too, though.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah, of course.
Because, I mean, the weed could take you also in a
dark
places and your mental.
And I thought this was interesting. Everybody's different.
We're all different.
And I think that there's not one cookie cutter approach that's going to work for everybody.
Nope.
So, but I think it's a good documentary. You should definitely listen to it. But I did think that that was interesting about the...
I wonder if she, not to cut you off, I wonder if she smokes it to just calm her anxiety down. Mm-mm.
She said it. She's when she feels like she needs something.
Oh, so she uses it for that.
She
doesn't use it for creativity either.
No, she says when she feels like she needs something, she feels like she should be able to have something and not be told she can have nothing. Because when she feels like she can have nothing, that's what makes her want to be rebellious and secretive and do all the things behind everybody's back who are trying to control her. It's a controlling thing.
I can relate. Nobody wants to be controlled.
Yeah, so...
especially on their food. Nobody wants Nazi or food police, but you have to be accountable.
That's
where you have a system.
That accountability really does help. And she loves the accountability. She says that's what helps her too. She has accountability. She has good people around her. People that she can reach out to when she said, hey, you know, I'm having a weak moment. I'm not having a great day or whatever. That's important too.
Talk it out.
But for her, hers is kind of all lumped in, like with food addiction, drugs, alcohol. And I'm not claiming to be the expert on any of it. And everybody, but she did have a good point and said that the 12-step program and the sobriety program that everybody uses to become sober and that all of these doctors at these rehab facilities use was created in the 1930s.
Are you effing kidding
me? No, it was created in the 1930s. She goes, things have changed.
I didn't do 12-step.
Systems have changed. Lots of things have changed. So
mental health has changed.
It's not necessary. And pharmaceuticals and the different types of addictions
that are
on the forefront now because of pharmaceuticals and the Industrial Revolution and all of that, that maybe it makes sense to kind of like, you know, maybe that program someone needs to take a look at it. Maybe it's no longer as effective as it once was, or with the introduction to the types of things people are being
kind of like the food pyramid.
Yeah, the food pyramid's completely different.
We know that the food pyramid's ass backwards, but people don't want, for some reason, they're still stuck in their ways and want to change. Like, listen, that food pyramid is like ancient. It's like we're in 2021.
So, so that's a good documentary. I highly recommend taking a listen to that. I posted a YouTube video, I did a review. Recently, I had a little controversy. Not really controversy, but man, it got some panties in a bunch. I gave my review on, finally, I know I've talked about it here, actually, on this podcast, that I did a that I was testing a collagen, a supplement, a collagen supplement. I started taking it in January and took it for 3.5 months, almost 4 months. And I was finally ready to give my review. And the interesting thing, and now I can talk about it because I revealed it because I wouldn't say what it was before, but it's Modere liquid collagen and this weight loss supplement called Trim. And, it's expensive. It's one of those, you know, multi-level marketing companies, very expensive. Typical with multi-level marketing companies, and I'm not necessarily anti-MLM, but when it comes to those companies, they're always overpriced because there's a lot of people.
Hands in the cookie jar?
There's a lot of hands in the cookie jar. A lot of people are making money down that pipeline.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So they're overpriced products always. They're always overpriced. So you have to really freaking love it in order to spend the money on it because they're very overpriced. But let me tell you, man, the influencers that are out there promoting it, influencers, celebrities, they're posting before and after pictures, crazy results, talking about how much weight they lost, inches lost, all, you know, like I took it for a week and my, you know, my knee feels better. I'm, here you know, doing jumping jacks. I'm out of a wheelchair, whatever. You're seeing crazy, crazy, you know, things. But just like with everybody else, repetition, you see it so much, it starts to intrigue you. Even me, I'm like, I'm intrigued.
Usually you don't fall for stuff like that.
I didn't fall for it necessarily. I was just took it with an open mind. I thought, of course.
Nothing wrong with
if
that.
If this stuff even does a fraction of what it claims to do, I'd love to kind of like add us a good, reputable quality supplement to my offering to my clients and say like, hey guys, also if you take this in addition to your macros, it's going to give you amazing results and earn some commission. You know, like I'm not against earning money. I'm all about it. You know,
yeah, of course.
I'm a businesswoman. So I took it with the full expectation that not expectation, but the full desire to, if I loved it, to get behind it, to promote it, to sell it and make, you know, an offering for my clients. Anyway, so yeah, I got suckered somewhat, and I've been buying it for 3.5 months and taking it, and...
To no avail?
No. Listen. This is what I always tell everybody when it comes to supplements, and if you have not already watched the video, watch it. It's on YouTube. I'll link it in the show notes if you guys can go directly to it and watch it. It's interesting. It's a good video because it teaches you on exactly what to do when you want to know if a supplement works. So basically... It's liquid. There's two, a liquid collagen and Trim. The one I more have the issue with is the Trim. It's basically a liquid form of CLA and it also has collagen in it. And the bottle says it prevents fat storage and shrinks fat cells. That's what it says. Clinically proven. The special ingredient in there that's supposedly that they're basing that off of is CLA. CLA is reportedly like a non-stimulant fat burner. A lot of supplement companies say that about CLA because there have been some studies that show that it significantly impacts the formation of fat cells in mice.
Mice. Not humans, but mice.
When those studies began studying humans, the results were minuscule. Okay, so in like one study, they studied a group of obese people over the course of a year. And over the course of a year, the people that were on the CLA supplement versus the people that weren't lost on average 2.9 pounds more over the course of a year. Okay. That's it. So when you're seeing these before and afters, I lost 5 pounds in a week. I lost inches. It doesn't work like that. Number one. Number two, remember I said this company is a multi-level marketing company, so there needs to be a lot of meat on the bone. If you feel like you want to take CLA because there's that little extra, tiny extra that it might give you, take a cheaper CLA supplement. CLA is in so many different supplements on the market.
Exactly.
It's been, for 20 bucks, you could buy it like a generic CLA, you know, with some black pepper in it for maximum absorption on Amazon for like 20 bucks. Huh. Not $100 a month.
That's expensive.
You know, it's read the fine print.
Gym membership.
When it comes to supplements, all ignore the marketing. Ignore the marketing, ignore the packaging, ignore the influencer that's making the buck on it. Okay, ignore. Maybe they made you look at a particular thing, but don't buy it because of what somebody's telling you, what somebody's showing you, what somebody's making off you. Don't buy it because of that. Buy it because maybe you noticed someone that you follow is talking about it. So do your research. Okay, so okay, let's look at this trim product. Okay, what does it have in it? CLA. Now let me do research on CLA. Look for studies. What studies have shown on CLA? Take it even a step further. I mean, this is your money. This is not cheap. Then make sure that you're reading studies from companies that have nothing to gain from the study. Don't read a study that Moder did on CLA, because they're going to say studies show. Well, maybe their focus group was 5 people.
Studies show. It's funny how they say
it. Studies show. Yeah. What studies?
Yeah, what studies?
Clinical studies proven. Okay, what clinical studies? I want to know how many people.
Yep.
What was the study group over what period of time, and what were the results?
That's true. You know? People don't ask that, though.
Also, what else were they doing? Listen, you guys, if the product worked, I'd drink it by the gallon.
Hey, you just made my light bulb go off in my head. When you say studies show, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the fucking fat-free era. Fat-free cupcakes. Hey, desserts. Let's go in on it. Remember that?
They replace it with other stuff, so, and then it's got tons of calories in it.
Studies show, clinical studies, it's all boof.
And the thing about this is, when people post constantly, they're posting people's progress pictures. Listen, I'm not saying that people are posting fake progress pictures. I'm not saying that at all. What typically happens is, if you are going to go invest in some supplements, and you're going to put out of pocket $100 and some odd for these liquid collagen and trim, and you're, what else are you going to do? Probably also, I'm going to get on track, guys. Starting Monday, I'm going to start taking my trim. I'm going to start eating good. I'm going to start working out. You're going to do it all. So when you lose that weight, you're going to say, oh my God, I lost weight. I'm taking this trim. But you're not losing weight because you're taking the supplement. You're losing weight because of all the other things you're doing, because you've decided to invest in yourself. You've bought some supplements. You've got maybe a meal plan, or you're following a program. You're doing all the things. Now I tell you to do this. Keep doing everything you're doing, but stop taking the trim. Are you still getting results? The answer will be yes. It will be yes, because they're not significantly impacting your fat cell storage. Guess what shrinks fat cells, guys? A caloric deficit.
Yep.
A caloric deficit. So eating less, burning more, that's what's shrinking fat cells. Nothing else. And then, you know, I had people, I mean, there's people maybe that follow me that maybe they promote it. And so they're feeling some type of way, like, so they feel like they want to defend it or whatever. Listen, do you, boo. You do you, boo. I don't care what you promote on your page to your followers. That's your business. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's your business. You promote what you feel comfortable with promoting. I personally feel a responsibility to the people that follow me, my clients, because they look to me for advice for those things. I'm careful of what I will tell them to take, because they'll take it. People want the miracle in a bottle. They're looking for it. They'll die for it. They'll pay the money for it. They will spend on something that they think is going to be a shortcut to their dream body. They will spend.
You know what? What's the percentage of people who have successfully removed fat cells doing liposuction and not gaining it back? I bet you it's a very low percentage of people who have never gained it back.
That's so off topic.
It's just
weird. I came out of left field.
No, I'm just saying, like, people are looking for the miracle things. I'm just saying, another example, like, they go and spend thousands of dollars to do that, and it works temporarily, and then boom, they gain it all back.
That's a totally other topic, because liposuction, they're removing the fat cells.
Yes.
But if you have bad habits that you haven't fixed or whatever, number one, they can't remove a lot of fat cells. It's dangerous at one time. So you can't get massive results from liposuction, number one. You got me on another tangent now. Number two. They do remove the fat cells. The fat cells don't go back to that area. Uh-huh. But what happens is, if you don't change your eating habits and you continue to gain weight, you might gain fat in weird places and suddenly have a lumpy, bumpy result. Maybe you have fat elbows now and fat kneecaps because they took it out of your thighs, and now those fat cells aren't there. So they pop up somewhere else.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
They're not going to necessarily pop up in the same place. So you risk a really funky result. Also, if a doctor doesn't know what they're doing, they could take out too much and cause a really not a smooth texture, whatever. It's liposuction is ideal for someone who's already done the work. They've already lost a good amount of weight. They have a couple of stubborn areas that they want help with, small stubborn areas. So I'm not necessarily against liposuction if it's done correctly for the right reasons, but it's not a shortcut. And in fact, it's not that effective, and you're swollen for so long, you feel chubby for a long time. Like it makes you swollen for like months, and you're better off just, hey, you know what? Go on the diet for a couple of months to lose the fat instead, and it'll
go down too.
It'll go down faster because honestly, you're not going to get the end results from liposuction for like 6 months. People don't realize that, but it causes a lot of trauma to the body, a lot of inflammation, weight gain on the scale initially because your body is like inflamed. It's very traumatic. If you haven't watched a liposuction procedure, watch one. It's very traumatic. They do have some new technology yet. Nothing I can get on board with yet. If I saw like a good solution that I thought was effective and cost effective and I knew something about it or tried it, I would share for sure, but I haven't. Liposuction I wouldn't do just because it's not very effective. It's very traumatic to the body, can cause a lot of inflammation, what is it? Swelling.
The cost ain't worth the reward.
No, and it's expensive.
It's not worth it, yeah.
And it's got a lot of side effects, like a lot of potential side effects. So yeah, that's not the answer either, guys. Listen, I told everybody with the YouTube video, same thing. If I find that miracle in a bottle, I promise you, I will tell you about it. I will share it and trust, best believe I'll sell it so I can make my commission.
Best believe I'll buy stocks and shares in that company
too. So I can
too.
Make my commission on it. Trust that. Like, you know, I could have gone on, you know, if I didn't have ethics, if I tried it and said, oh yeah, guys, you know, it worked. It's amazing. It's going to speed things up, blah, blah, blah. I could have made money hand over fist on it. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sell my soul. I will not sell my soul.
You know why? Because you're not in this for the long, short term, long haul, big picture.
Yeah, big picture.
And moral ethics.
You have to think about.
Should have ethics. Don't be pushing BS on people.
Think about, and I had multiple people messaging me. I had people who sell it, people who have been taking it. And they're like, no, but it worked for me. I haven't lost any weight, but I lost a pound and an inch off my abdomen. I'm like, okay, you can like, you know, lose an inch off your abdomen in a day if you digest, you know, if you take a like my intestinal cleanser.
Yes.
Usually bowel distension causes, or like good digestion will shrink your waistline, but whatever. I'm just saying, I didn't put it out there because I want to debate with people. I don't go on other people's pages and feel like, and put my opinion on there. I don't go into someone else's house and tell them I don't like their couch. But on my channel, I can say whatever I want.
Exactly.
I don't need to defend it. And I don't need to debate it with people.
Nope.
So if you don't
you
like
said
it.
Said what you said.
If you don't like it because it made you feel uncomfortable for whatever reason. Like I said, you do you on your channel. I promise you I won't call anybody out. I'm not here to call anybody out. I'm not here to throw anyone under the bus on my channel. I'm just giving my own opinion. And for people that follow me and look to me for advice because that is what I do for a living. I help people with. So I do urge you though, when you're being influenced, quote unquote, by people you follow on Instagram, ask yourself something. Ask yourself, are they where I'm trying to be and get influence from them? Are they there? Why are they influencing you on something that they haven't even been able to achieve themselves yet?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to ask yourself that when you're following people. If somebody is giving you business advice and they live in their car, do you want to take that advice from that person? No, you don't.
You said about college professors and these business courses, he hasn't even successfully
made what millions have you done? Of business. Do you own a business? Teach business, but you don't own a business.
Yeah,
you know, so like,
yeah.
Be careful with what you're being influenced by. If like, you know, listen, I in my space, I coach on nutrition and fitness, and I've been able to achieve amazing things with my body, 100-pound weight loss, maintenance. I've guided many people to their dream bodies. I've been there. I've been to where I'm trying to help my clients get to. I'm there. I'm trying to bring them with me. just be cautious about getting advice, nutrition advice, fitness advice, business advice, whatever, from somebody who is not where they are helping you get. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I said that about trainers when I was a trainer.
Yeah. I used to look the part. I picked you as a trainer. Now you're my husband. I picked you because you were the only freaking person in that gym at that time that looked like they knew what they were doing. I wasn't going to, I don't want to be trained by someone that hasn't even, listen, if you haven't even met your own body goals and been able to transform your own body, why would I want you to help me transform mine? You haven't been able to crack the code on yourself. It's easier to fix yourself than it is to fix other people.
Yep.
In terms of that kind of
way
stuff.
Way easier.
So if you haven't even been able to figure out yourself, you can't help somebody else. And another thing, just because you figured out yourself, it still doesn't mean that you can help other people.
Yeah, people make the mistake.
Because I've also had a trainer before who trained me like he trained himself.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's a mistake a lot of people do. They're good at working out themselves and they know their body to a T. That's not going to transfer well to clients as a personal trainer. You have to find different styles from different folks.
Exactly. So anyways, listen, if I offended any of you guys about your little Modere, just go on about your business.
See, keep it moving.
For my actual opinion, don't, like, some people, like, it was funny, they messaged me, they're like, well, I haven't watched your video, but, and they went on a tangent. First of all, you clearly didn't watch the video because my opinions are not all negative. So watch the video. Like, at least if you're going to expect me to respond to what you have to say, at least do me the courtesy of watching the video first, because I'm not going to, like, my opinions are already out there. You know, you may have saved yourself some writing. But I had a few, my DMs were like,
want to write a novel,
my
man.
DMs were like nonstop. I'm like, I'm done. I'm in my house talking about my own opinion. Yep. If it made you feel some type of way from whatever reason, I'm sorry, but I didn't disrespect anybody by going into their house. I'm not trying to
go on their page.
I'm not trying to make you look bad to your followers. Don't worry. I'm talking to my people.
These are your people.
These are my people.
These aren't their people.
So I'm done. I'm not responding to any more DMs on the topic or comments. I added some comments on the actual video itself. I'm done going back and forth on it.
That's it.
So
I said what I said,
guys. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We will see you on the next one.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Candidly with Coffee. Be sure to subscribe for more candid advice from your host, Janine Escobar. And don't forget to rate and review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you on the next episode.